So would you, I guess somebody would need to make a motion to table it until the groundfish committee?
No, it hasn't been seconded.
Oh, so I don't need to do anything, I don't need to withdraw it or anything?
Yeah, you don't. Chairman Robbins, did you have a?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, just one comment. You know, it seems that trading could provide relief in the short term, and it may play an important role in the long run also. And you know, it's obvious at this point, but you know, it seems that the allocation model that's being applied is really too simple to meet the needs of the respective fisheries. There's no element in it, there's no dimension in that allocation model that fully reflects the importance or the value of some of these stocks where they're constraining on our fisheries, for example, such that you might have an outcome that was described earlier where the Canadians come out of it with potentially more than they need and we come out with far less than we need. You know, the model itself is not, you know, going forward, I don't think that allocation model is going to meet the U.S. needs or allow the U.S. to protect its interests. So, you know, I would submit that in the long run, refining that allocation model to include dimensions that fully reflect the complexity and the interrelatedness between those stocks and our respective fisheries is going to have to be part of the solution.
And thank you. There's a great deal of argument about that, and as the regional administrator brought up, the effort on this is to try and keep from agreement, because if that happens, then we still have to adhere to all of the Magnuson regulations, and we might take the whole hit on that. So we're better off with the agreement and trying to work some part of it out, but we have to be careful not to take it too far. Rich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Canastra. Just to refresh your memory, last year at 1,150 metric ton, we were at a crisis. At 1,150 metric ton. We're talking 500 metric ton. We don't even know if that equates to the discards. We think discard rate is going to be higher than that. And furthermore, not to rain on your parade of how we're fighting over these crumbs, which is a shame, the scallop fleet is about 60% of their trips done in Georges. And I believe, I might be wrong, but they're about 80% of the yellowtail. So, on top of this, next year, we may owe Canada back out of that 500 metric of what the scholars went over this year. What a mess, and God bless you people.
Okay. Anybody on the council in this moment? We still have to go through the recommendations of the TMGC and vote on them. So I will, Karen, did you have that? I will run through this quickly. Second slide. The negotiated tack for each bank cod for 2013 was the 600 metric tons versus the 675 in 2012. You know, as Loretta went over a lot of that with the two model formulations based on the different natural mortality. Given the recent poor recruitment, TMGC sought to decrease fishing mortality and promote stock rebuilding. Cash level is based on more conservative adjusted projections. Next slide. 600 metric tons is the average of the two row adjusted models for catch level corresponding to a neutral risk of exceeding EFRA. Under both adjusted projections, biomass is expected to increase more than 10%. Attack of 600 tons results in 96 for the U.S. and 504 for Canada. Next slide. Haddock attack is 10,400 metric tons versus 16,000 last year. Represents a neutral risk of exceeding FRF. Fishing mortality has been below FRF since 2007. We know all of that. I'm going to go right to the next slide. The quotas you can see there. We will jump to yellowtail flounder. The TAC for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder for 2013 is 500 metric tons versus the 1150 for 2012. The retrospective bias of the benchmark model overestimates the biomass, led TMGC to consider five sensitivity analyses developed by TRAC. Next slide. A 500 metric ton catch is lower than the catch associated with a neutral risk of exceeding FRF based on unadjusted projection results. And it's expected to result in an increase in stock size and falls within the range of the sensitivity analyses provided. Attack of 500 metric tons results in a national quota of 215 metric tons for the U.S. and 285 for Canada. I believe, Karen, there was a motion that Tom had put together. I'll read it, that the council approved the following 2013 quotas for the U.S.-Canada resource sharing understanding. One, Eastern Georges Bank cod, 600 metric tons. U.S. share, 96, Canadian share, 504. Eastern Georges Bank haddock, 10,400. U.S. share, 3952, Canadian share, 6448. Three, Georges Bank yellowtail flounder, 500 metric tons, U.S. share, 215 metric tons, Canadian share, 285. Essentially, that would have been the same as a TMGC committee motion. I think I would feel more comfortable if I got a second for that. Dave Preble, that's my other hat. Just because we did them individually, not as one motion. So I'll open that up to discussion. David Pierce.
Yeah, I appreciate the need for the motion. Do we have any idea, any understanding, anything written to describe what the impact of this particular motion would be on the fishing industry, notably the sea scallop fishery, and others that are dependent upon the Georges Bank resource? It's easy to vote this through. Those are the numbers. Those are the TMGC conclusions. But what does it mean? What does it mean to the U.S. fishing industry? That would be very helpful. If we know what it means, then we would at least vote for it with an understanding as to the consequences, as opposed to innuendo and guesswork. It's going to be comfortable, I'm sure, with the assessment of the situation as to what it means, but I'd like to see it somehow described before I would vote in favor of it.
Anyone else? Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what we do is vote this into the framework 48, and then in framework 48, analyze the impacts on the industry. So we need to have some numbers based on the U.S.-Canada understanding that go into the document, and then the council approves the document. So this isn't approving the numbers. Not that comes in November.
Okay, but still, we vote the numbers through with our eventually finding out what it means. And then when we find out what it means, we have no alternative but to adopt it, regardless of what it tells us. Understand the process. I know that's the only way to proceed, but it's a very uncomfortable way to proceed.
Dave Cato.
Well, based on what Paul said, I think it would be an improvement in to add after Joyce Candidate Resource Sharing Understanding for analysis in Framework 48, so that people clearly understand that they're being analyzed and that, you know, this isn't the final vote on these absolute numbers.
Okay. Yep. Anyone else on the council? Drew.
Drew McCabe's Fisheries Survival Fund. I was strongly opposed to this motion, even with the improvement of the analysis. This motion, while putting forward what the TMGC put forward, ignores the debate and the entire day we all collectively spent at the SSC. Why did we have an SSC meeting on Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder if we're not even going to consider for 1 second their that whole debate and the outcome of that debate? Where is that even reflected in any of this? There's no talk of the bycatch-only strategy. There's no talk of the high, you know, the United States was prohibited by its own government. The TMGC was prohibited from even bringing the higher amount to the TMGC. What is the role of the SEC here? Why do we even bother spending that day doing this? Are we just going, we have meetings and we just ignore the outcomes? And even with the addition of the language that says for analysis, what is the other option here? You know, I bring you back to the debate we had during Herring. If there are no other viable alternatives, no choices to choose from, this is actually the only quote-unquote legal alternative, then it's not legal. What if you analyze this and you're putting these numbers forward before we have any idea? Do you really know what 215 metric tons of Georgia's Bank is going to do to United States fishing? Do you think you might want to get a pretty good idea before you even put that forward as a possibility? 215 metric tons of yellowtail. These aren't trivial numbers. These aren't trivial fisheries we're talking about. You can't do this. Not this way. There are protections here that the industry will use to protect itself from arbitrary actions like this. This has to stop.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. John.
I think in answer to Dave's question, the answer is yellowtail. If I'm looking at the right chart, as of September, the amount of cod caught is 24%. So that the impact on the cod is not going to be there, obviously the impact on haddock. So really, your question boils down to, as Drew said, what's the impact on yellowtail? And Drew's question is absolutely appropriate. What do we do? How do we affect what the SSC said? How do we turn this into bycatch? How do you do what the industry has done successfully in so many ways with yellowtail avoidance? You know, how is there a way to do that? But that's what the numbers suggest we need to get to if we're going to avoid overfishing. If that's what the goal is, that's the number, that's the target we have to hit, right? Then the question becomes, how do you hit it? Because we need to hit that number if we ever want to see yellowtail get back up to the levels we want to get to. So that's the number we hit. Then the question is, how do we do it? Now, you can say we should have how we're going to do it before we set that target, Or you can say, we should set the target and then figure out how to do it. But that's the number we have to hit, and we have to figure out how we're going to do it. We need to do both those things, but it's yellowtail's the problem. Cod, if they were there, we'd be catching it, and we're at 24% right now, and it's September. So the impact's not going to be on cod, and obviously it's not on haddock. Although we may increase the haddock, you know, if we open those closed areas, it would be nice to see us get the number, the percentage of haddock up. Be a good success story. But that's a subject for another time.
Dave Cathel.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little different take on that 24-ton number. I mean, you can't fish for haddock because even with the bycatch reduction nets we have, you aren't going to be able to stay under the cod or the yellowtail number. That's why we're not harvesting the haddock in the first place. You can't do it. The things all swim together. And that's the crux of this entire problem. Once again, you're back at the single species level, putting up numbers that are so low for a couple of species that you guarantee you'll never get the one that's abundant. Now, I don't know how much longer we have to go on before we admit this entire thing has just failed. I'm happy to vote this through. I'll use as a reference that the cod number is 6 tons higher than the red hake quota for all of the northern area. So you want to talk about another absurd number, the northern red hake is absolutely, totally absurd. It was caught by 12 boats in Area 1 in not even fishing for them. It's a bycatch fish in something like, 4 weeks? You have a lot more boats fish on George's Bank than you have fish for whiting in Area 1. And, at some point you have to admit that some of these numbers are simply don't even jive remotely with reality. And that is exactly what you're seeing right here. These numbers don't jive with what everybody in the audience has been telling you for weeks about yellowtail. They don't jive at all. So I'm happy to put this forward and get it analyzed, and I'm quite sure what the analysis is going to tell you. This is going to lead to a shutdown of both the groundfish and the scallop fisheries on George's Bank. And then maybe, just maybe, somebody might fix the problem. Once you've shut down billions of dollars worth of fisheries, maybe then somebody will admit that this system doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and maybe we'll fix it. But right now, these are the numbers that have been put forward by what is termed the best available science. And as near as I can tell, you don't have a choice. So as Drew said, they'll do what they have to do, and I think what they have to do is blow up Magnuson. And that's probably what's going to occur out of this. So I think everybody ought to go into it with their eyes wide open as to what's happened here as we finally reach the illogical conclusion of single species management.
Dave Pierce.
Yeah, I certainly hear David Gethel loud and clear, and I'm listening to the audience, and I've got my own problems with the George's Bank yellowtail flounder assessment, but I have to set them aside for a while because I won't make any headway with resolving those problems here today. But in light of the motion before us now, and in light of the fact that we do have, after a great deal of discussion by the SSC, a suggestion from them, an option from them, regarding the 1,150 metric ton backstop ABC, I'd make a motion to amend. And the motion would be to add the following sentence to the motion on the board. And it would be, the SSC recommended ABC of 1,150 metric tons as a bycatch fishery also should be included in the Framework 48 analysis. It's a number we have before us provided by the SSC. Let's at least have it analyzed to see what it means, compare it with the consequences of the other yellowtail flounder option up there. So at least we'll have a better idea as to what it implies. So I'd like that number included. So that's the motion. to amend the SEC recommended ABC of 1150 metric tons of the bycatch fishery also should be included in the framework for the analysis. Yes, that's it.
So seconded by Mary Beth. Tom.
I spoke to it a little bit earlier under the SSC discussion. I guess I don't disagree with evaluating this, but the idea that we don't have a bycatch fishery right now, we have this ABC right now. I don't understand. Some people have started using the term bycatch fishery as though it's a new tool that we haven't stumbled across before. The groundfish, we mentioned where the sectors are right now. Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder, we've caught 11% of it right now. The groundfish is using yellowtail as a bycatch. The scallopers are using yellowtail. They've developed tools to avoid yellowtail. They're using it as a bycatch right now. In my mind, there's no one out directing on Georgia's Bank yellowtail right now. Maybe there's someone out there, but they're pretty foolish to do it. And I don't think that while we can analyze this, I don't think the magical bycatch definition somewhere that fundamentally changes how we approach this. People are trying to avoid this stock. The number and the economics of going fishing dictates whether it's a bycatch stock or not. Not us. I mean, how much yellowtail you can avoid, or how much scallops you can catch per pound yellowtail, that's what dictates the bycatch nature of that stock. Same on the groundfish side. So I don't know. You know, I'm happy to support the analysis of this backstop ABC. Another word that we've sort of stumbled across recently, but I don't really understand what a bycatch fishery means in terms of a change in our management strategy, certainly on the groundfish side.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This motion, along with other motions at the Groundfish Committee, adds an awful lot of work to Framework 48 that was already barely able to be ready for the November Council meeting. So I'd like to put the service on notice that if, in fact, we're late and not submitting in November and have to go to December, January, February, whatever we have to do to get this right, and we don't have the right documentation, that they are prepared to streamline the review process and do everything they can to get it in place May 1st or early May 1st for the groundfish, or May 1st for Framework 48. It's getting very complicated.
Anyone else on the council? Call the question. All those in favor of the amended motion? Sixteen in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 16-0-1. The motion carries. Unless there is other business on that right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are we done with this item? Because I just have one last thing before we break for the day.
Yes, we are done with this item.
I just wanted to mention that, you know, we discussed earlier under scallops the two motions that we deferred till tomorrow, but we do have some people here in the industry who thought we would take them up today and will not be here tomorrow. So I hope that you might, I know it's late, but just allow them to make some comments on priorities and the habitat motion that was contained in the scallop meeting summary.
Tom. Did you want to?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, you have to need to vote again.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. Okay, we're on the main motion as amended. All those in favor? Seventeen. Motion carries. I'm sorry. Tom, you had some.
Well, I could hold this off to tomorrow, but this creates some issues for the document. We're already supposed to analyze a bunch of catches for the two cod stocks and white hake because those benchmark assessments are going to be completed later. And now we're talking about analyzing a range of catches for Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder without really knowing how those catches are going to be distributed if they're allowed. We don't yet know what the scallop fishery amounts will be and what will go to the groundfish fishery. And this is going to make it very difficult to generate meaningful economic analyses that capture all the possible interactions between these different effects. The other thing that's going to be difficult to analyze, quite bluntly, is we had a little bit of a discussion this morning about the overfishing limit for George's Bank yellowtail flounder during the SSC report. And I, frankly, am at a loss for how we're going to argue that 1,150 tons does not exceed the overfishing limit.
John?
I just point out that the groundfish fleet to date has harvested 10% of the yellowtail limit. So they're doing a good job avoiding right now. I don't know what the number is for the scallop fleet, but the groundfish is doing a great job.
Okay, somebody wanted to make some comments concerning the motion of including.
Just to refresh everybody's memory, there were two motions that we'll take up tomorrow that were came forth from the one is relative to habitat, the habitat omnibus amendment, and I think there's some people who'd like to speak to that. And then the other motion was under priorities. Those were the two things.
Comments on that, Peter?
Thank you very much. Peter Hughes, Atlantic Cape Fisheries, Cape May, New Jersey. I didn't realize these motions were going to carry over tomorrow, and I've got to leave at 1, and I see it's not scheduled until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And so I apologize for keeping everybody here a little late. This motion 9 was to initiate in 2013 a new framework to set specifications for 2014. I think it's very important that we look at this one-year model, and this might be, you know, a singular event that we're looking at. But, you know, recently the Boston Globe came out with an article saying that on average, like in the Northeast, New England waters have been 2.5 degrees above normal since 1951. And a little more telling is that locations off the Chesapeake Bay and the Delaware, the surface water temperature has been 11 degrees above normal, and the ocean bottom temperature has been 9 degrees above normal. We don't know what's going to happen with this wonderful recruitment that we're seeing down in the Mid-Atlantic. These things could you know, blow up like Frisbees within a 12-month cycle. We just don't know what this intense increase in water temperature is going to do to these scallops, and I think that it's very important that we initiate this framework so that we can examine the surveys and see what kind of growth we have on this wonderful recruitment we're seeing. As far as Motion 10 goes, that's accessing essential fish habitat in Closed Area 2, and it's also accessing it in the northern part of Closed Area 1. Gosh, I just sat through an hour's and a half worth of conversation on what in the heck we're going to do with this yellowtail when we blow it up. It's going to get blown up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And Mr. Bullard, if you look at scallops, you're going to see that scallops are at 80% and maybe even a little bit higher now because that was last week. And we're doing everything that we can to avoid yellowtail. They just happen to be in the areas in the box that we have to fish in. There are these two other boxes out there that have very, very minimal yellowtail that we're dragging our feet on, and then we're not able to access them. You know, let alone the 30% reduction that we're seeing this year. I mean, look at the yellowtail. What's going to happen when it's decided that, oh, well, we went over all the yellowtail that we were allotted. We owe this much yellowtail to Canada. We're going to have to shut down the scallop fishery. $2 billion fishery.
we're going to have to shut down the groundfish fishery because we've exceeded our yellowtail. And we have two viable options that are on the table, and they've been on the table. We've recommended them for years to this council. Other council members made up the makeup of the council, but we've been recommending it for years, access to closed area 2. Now, to be perfectly honest, it's a dump in closed area 2. I mean, it's as though somebody let the weeds grow in there for the past 10 years, 15 years that we've been denied access to the area. It's going to take some culling through, and it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of resources in order to do that. We may not get a lot of biological benefit from it for the first year or the first 2 years, but you know what? We're not catching yellowtail in the area. We have the ability to go in there, and if we can obtain some sort of benefit from the area in scallop landings, it's only a plus because, like I said, we're mowing the lawn, we're grooming the lawn, we're making it so that scallops are going to set in the area much better than they're currently able to. So I appreciate you letting me make these comments, and I know that others want to make some comments also. I don't know if they're going to do that today or tomorrow, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else today? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Mike Marchetti, Eastern Scallop Association, scallop advisor and a boat owner, fisherman. Actually, the priorities what I want to speak to was the continuation of the evaluation of the LAGC IFQ program, and I think it's very important that the results of this are shown. This is continued. I think that it will help a great deal on several fronts. I would like to see happen to the limited access general category fleet post Amendment 11. I think the fact will be shown that there was what I would call hyper consolidation and what I would also call Machiavellian nature of this management style. I think it will help you guys make better decisions regarding management, especially in regards to the groundfish small boat fleet. I think potentially they could face the same fate that we had, if not worse. I think it will further help define the LAGC fishery as it is today, post-Amendment 11, and our impacts upon the fishery resources, habitat, and its assumed bycatch, such as yellowtail flounder and windowpane flounder, which seems to be an issue right now. I thought it was not overfished at the time, but maybe it seems to be in the docket here. What I see is flatline numbers, guesstimates, what I like to call scientific wild-ass guesses, quite honestly, thrown at our fishery. We must have this bycatch impact. We must be doing this. We must be doing that. I don't think we even know how many boats are left in the fishery. I'd be shocked to find out if there was over 100, quite honestly, out of the originally 3,000 permit holders. So I remember mentioning this a few years ago. Originally, I think it's important that this is continued to conclusion and brought out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. Want to end on a more positive note that we started the afternoon with, and say thank you to John Bullard and to the agency for taking the time, the effort to review the Northeast Seafood Coalition proposal closely, and to working with us to try to get to a win-win situation. Harbor Porpoise conservation is a number one goal for many of us. The industry is made a commitment and a good faith offer, which we intend to follow within the next coming days, with guys doubling up on pingers and doing things such as, Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund has been in discussions with Fremunda, who will be bringing in new generation LED pingers into the fold at some course this fall, when they're available. I think they're about 4 weeks out from us getting them. So we're all to improving compliance and to doing the best that we can this year to get this situation under control until such that time that the TRT can meet and review the data in its entirety. So thank you very much for making that decision, and we look forward to partnering with the agency to improve compliance moving forward. So thank you very much.
Anyone else on the motion? Seeing none, we will adjourn for the evening. We start at 8 a.m. tomorrow.